Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here, taking a look at invasive plants today with a couple of guests. Kelly Kearns, invasive plant coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Kelly, great to have you back.
Thank you.
And Mark Renz, Mark, associate professor in the and extension weed scientist with the UW-Madison. And Mark, great to have you back as well.
Good morning, Larry.
So this is a good time of the year. By the way, let me tell people they can join in. Certainly, if you have a question about weeds, invasive weeds, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can also tweet us as well at L Mueller Show. So we'd love to hear from you. But this is a good time of the year to be looking for invasives, isn't it? Some of them kind of come up a little bit before other plants?
Yeah, there certainly are some that are easiest to see when they're in flower, and a lot of them are in flower now or will be soon. And so that's oftentimes the best time to really seek them out.
Yeah, and do we have more? Are there more now invasive plants than, let's say, in the past? Or are we just hearing more about them and putting more emphasis on them?
I think both of that is true, but in general, we're seeing new species coming into the state each year, and we're seeing expansion of populations that we've had in the past. And that's in part due to a lot of land disturbance. It's in part due to people moving around and moving plants both intentionally and unintentionally. And it's also in part due to more international trade. And so people are able to go on eBay and buy things from all over the world. And there's very little restriction on that and very little enforcement on that. And so people are bringing things in from all over the place.
And Mark, how do you define an invasive plant, by the way?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's really often confused, and there's several different forms of definitions. You know, there's an ecological definition, and then there's regulatory definition. I think that in Wisconsin, our legislature and DNR has done a very good job of defining what an invasive species is. So I'm going to emphasize that definition. It's a plant that is not native to our area and can cause some type of impact or damage or harm. That damage can be economic, environmental, or it can be harm to human health. So a great example of one that can harm human health is wild parsnip. It's just starting to get going now.
Yeah.
You know, if you break that plant and get the sap on your skin and the sun, it will cause a really caustic burn. So that's clearly an impactful plant. So if you can have some type of impact and it's a non-native species, that's what we call an invasive plant or population.
Mike in Sun Prairie has a question about an invasive plant, I bet. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Oh. So I'm noticing garlic mustard is spreading like crazy. I've noticed this year it's in line fences and along the sides of the roads where it never has been before. There's even some that popped up in our flower garden this year. It seems like this is like an unstoppable plant. So I'm wondering if there's anything. I mean, whenever I see it, even like hiking along the roads or in the parks, I sometimes will just pick it and and try to destroy it.
So Kelly, what about it?
So garlic mustard is a plant that probably a lot of the listeners are familiar with. It's blooming right now in, at least in southern Wisconsin, probably starting to in the northern part of the state, is about knee high and has, if you crush the leaves, they smell like garlic. It's a biennial, and so in its second year, it flowers and then goes to seed. And it is very widespread throughout the state. And because it's so widespread, yes, we are not going to stop it. We are not going to, we're never going to eradicate it from the state. That's just not feasible. What we can do, though, is individual landowners or land managers can work on keeping it out of their site if they don't have it yet, then being really good about monitoring every year, this time of year, looking and removing every single plant that you can find. And then if you do have a population, again, removing every single plant and staying on top of it every year for at least the next 7 to 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and there are some examples of people that find it early on in, say, a forest, and they can get on top of it. Within 2 to 3 years, they can really almost eradicate it. But it really takes what I like to say a community, because this plant can spread. It's spread by water, spread by animals. And so you need everyone to be on the same page trying to manage it, too. And if you can't, you know, you really need to just focus on trying to limit its competition in those really desirable areas. But, Mike, you're correct. It's spreading. It's showing up in areas we haven't seen it. I think this is a really good example of a invasive plant evolving to be able to invade different areas. You know, 10 years ago when I first came here, Kelly, I don't know what your observations were. We only saw it in the forest. Now we're seeing it in full sun environments. It's a really unique species that's just really well adapted to our situation.
Where the heck did it come from? Where do we...
It's native to Europe, and over there, there's a lot of things that eat it, and so it's not really invasive over there at all. It's just a common, you know, a common weed over there, and so they've been doing some work on trying to find what eats it over there and see if any of those things are feasible for bringing over here, and so they've been testing this in containment facilities in Minnesota now since about 2001, and at this point, we're still... at least several years away from any of those insect biocontrol agents actually being released, if we ever do get approval.
If we ever get one.
Yeah, there's a great deal of testing that goes on to make sure that there's nothing important or closely related that they feed on as well.
We have had some luck with that with other...
Yeah, purple loosestrife has had very good success with biological control. There's a couple of different organisms that are insects that have been used for purple loosestrife biocontrol. And 20, 30 years ago, we had huge swaths of purple in August in wetlands throughout Wisconsin. And now you see scattered plants here and there, but generally the biological control has gotten spread out by thousands of volunteers raising up these plants, raising the beetles, and dispersing them. And it really has gotten purple loosestrife under control in the state.
Yeah. And now we have other things in those same marshes.
Yes, that actually is a problem.
It seems like it's taking over, like, a lot of the state parks. It's taking over everything, and it's crowding out all the other stuff.
Yeah, and the problem is the state parks just don't have the staff or even the volunteer force to do that control work. And so where they can, then they have staff, you know, kind of prioritizing areas. So the highest priority areas, like the state natural areas that are within state parks, those are the areas that they put the most effort into. And we do have friends groups with most of the state parks that do help with this, but it moves faster than the volunteers can be.
Yeah, and there's only so many, there's only so much you can do. There's thousands of acres.
Yeah, I think a great example, Kelly and I were just at Lake Mead Wildlife Area, and I believe they own, correct me if I'm wrong, Kelly, 40,000 acres they manage, and they have two people. Two people for 40,000 acres. So it's just really an impossible task, the way it's currently staffed.
Well, I've got about a quarter of an acre.
And you're having a hard time keeping up with it.
Hard enough time just keeping up with the weeds or the issues around my own yard. Mike, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call very much. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Go ahead and post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Always love to hear from you. And I always love to hear from Rob Ferret as well. He's with me for this spring membership drive. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Larry.
And he is here to help me tell you that we need your help. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. And your gift right now, any amount, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, last hour we had a lot of help, Larry. We heard from 25 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges. And now, great news, dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to, this is a big one, $3,200. This is a generous match, from current members, 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Judy Neal from Ripon. It means that they're going to match, they and other members are going to match every dollar you give up to that amount.
It's their way of encouraging you to join in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Larry Shy, today it's a great example. We're learning how to get those invasive species under control. It's an example of the informative, useful advice you get every day with Larry. And, of course, you get to hang out with Larry from 11 to 12:30 each day. That alone, it doesn't matter what he's talking about. That's just fun in and of itself. You're not going to get Larry. You're not going to get this show anywhere else. And it's only possible pledge by pledge on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this membership drive, you can let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio. You can support our Wisconsin state forests. You can ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Your thank you gift will plant a tree to help preserve our forests. So you can do two good things at once with your pledge at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the host and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
I hope you will pledge your support to WPR. Do it right now at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. And, hey, maybe your gift is $10 a month or maybe it's $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Make your pledge even easier for yourself and more reliable for us when you become a sustainer. Choose a monthly amount that's right for you, maybe $10 or $15 a month, and have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. You can become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's the most efficient way to contribute.
Yeah, and it's a great time to do it with that dollar-for-dollar match in effect up to $3,200. So your pledge right now will definitely get matched. Maybe listen to WPR as a child. Fond memories there. Or maybe now your kids really enjoy some of the programs here.
And I tell you what, it's really a lot of fun to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. I always do it every single time we have a drive. I get the coffee mug and I do all these different things. But I enjoy listening. I'll be going to Bayfield tomorrow, and I'll be driving tomorrow afternoon for five hours, about 300 miles. And along the way, I'm going to have public radio on the whole way, and I'm going to have interesting stories from NPR News. Might have a piece of music. I'm sure to be laughing along with whatever happens, and listening to you in the afternoon as well, Rob.
So hopefully you'll be laughing with me, not at me, Larry.
I will be laughing with you. I mean, I've been listening to WPR since I was a kid. My parents listened.
You've been on the air here since you were a kid.
And I've been on the air here since I was a kid. Well, and I think WPR can engage our kids and the minds of our kids today.
Well, and the thing is, you make it all possible when you participate as a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Give right now. Make that pledge in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,200 in effect right now. It's a great time to pledge because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Judy Neal, from Ripon will double every buck you give. So it's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Here's a great little added bonus, an extra reason to pledge. This drive, you can support Wisconsin Public Radio and give something extra. Ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I have it on good authority, Larry, that these trees that they can get as an added gift, they are non-invasive trees, Larry. Very important.
They're not going to go anywhere.
Right. These aren't the kind that are going to storm up to your house and take over. Not the evil trees. These are good trees, Larry.
Well, that is very, very good to hear. And I'm telling you what, if you want to plant a beautiful tree, you don't even have to plant the tree yourself.
You don't have to do the work yourself. No,
you do nothing.
No, you just leave that shovel in the garage.
Put your $60 out.
It's a program through the DNR, actually, that makes the tree happen.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on public radio to deal with the scientific studies, the political jargon, the news of the day, and the language, and we try to help make sense of those complex ideas so they you know how they'll affect you.
Yeah, if you count on WPR to help you stay on top of what's going on in the world and stay informed and understand what's going on out there, well, know this. We can't do it without your help, without your very important financial support. Your gift makes a difference. It makes it all possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And give the amount that's right for you, and if you need some help figuring that out, consider this. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. And if you paid a dime for each one, that would work out to $10 a month. Well, that's not too bad. Yeah, make that contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Carol from Deer Park pledged and said, I appreciate having a tree planted for my donation. Thanks. Well, Carol, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to that tree, and thank you so much for your support. How about you now? You count on Wisconsin Public Radio for great conversations, for great company with Larry Mueller. We count on you to help pay for it. Make your pledge right now. You choose the amount. You do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you. Coming up at 2 o'clock today, Kathleen Dunn and her guests talk about how mastering a new skill later in life can defy time and the demands of aging. So that's at 2. Right now, though, we're taking a look at those invasive plants that we're sorry to see in the state of Wisconsin, and Kelly Kearns and Mark Renz, our guests, Kelly with the DNR, Mark Renz, associate professor and weed scientist with UW Extension and UW Madison. And so many people online, we'll just go right straight to the phones, and Henry in Belvedere, Illinois. Hi, Henry, thank you for calling.
Hi. I have one of my flower beds that's covered in horsetail, and I don't... There's a ground cover there, so if I spray weed killer, I'm going to kill everything.
Yep.
Okay, so Henry, just to verify that what you have there, and for other people, horsetail, so these are the plants that look like pencils sticking up, and they don't really have any kind of flat leaves at all, right?
Correct. Yeah. And they're real scratchy. I was told that they used to use them to scour pans and polish furniture years ago.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, this is a tough one because it's not a typical plant like a lot of others, and so there really aren't a lot of herbicides that are specifically available to use for that. One way for a lot of plants that if you do find an herbicide that you want to try using on it is to actually put on a rubber glove and then put a cheap cotton glove over on top of that. And then you spray the herbicide on the glove, and then you just swipe the plants themselves. And then that way, you're getting the herbicide only on the targeted plants that you're trying to kill, and it won't be getting all over your ground cover.
Okay, because if you try to pull it up, it just breaks.
Yeah, so you're definitely not going to get the root system if you try doing that.
Yep, there you go. Good luck. Thank you for calling. Jackie and Mequon, your turn. Hi, Jackie.
Hi there. I was hoping to ask your guests, what can I use as a pesticide that is not a chemical? I'd like to say something safety towards the pollinators and us eating the food, trying to stay away from the chemical line. What would you suggest?
So are you thinking about this in a garden situation or a lawn situation, Jackie?
Both, yes.
So
the lawn obviously is the creeping Charlie and the dandelions. I don't have too much other stuff, but in the garden you get the weeds, the typical weeds around the tomato plants and the flowers and stuff. But I'm trying to stay away from the pesticides. We just had a friend diagnosed with cancer, and his doctor told him, get rid of all chemicals in your diet as much as possible.
Okay, well, let's turn to Mark Renz for that. Mark?
Well, thanks for your call, Jackie. I think this is a very common issue. I actually just answered an email yesterday about this exact issue. And so I just want to review a few of the concepts just to make sure there's no confusion. A pesticide is a chemical that controls any type of pest. So that can include insects, diseases, you know, rodents, or plants. And we call chemicals that control plants, we call those herbicides. So if we want to really, and how each of these pesticides work can vary dramatically. So your question is essentially getting at how toxic are these to some of our pollinators, and are there ones that are better than others? Well, kind of how these pesticides are created, they are very specific in how they act, and so they have various activities on different pests. I'm going to focus on herbicides because I work in that area. Herbicides really focus on controlling many of our weed species. In general, they are very safe to pollinators, unlike many of the insecticides, the neonicotinoids that you've heard about, if used properly. There are exceptions that some of these herbicides, however, can be toxic to honeybees. So you really need to do your due diligence and look at the individual products. There is information available that will tell you how toxic they are to honeybees and other pollinators that you're concerned about.
Is there a particular herbicide chemical that is more among those that are damaging to, could be damaging to honeybees? Is there a product that, or a, I should say, a chemical that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, the neonicotinoids are ones that have been accused of being really, and that's an insecticide. I did just yesterday look up just two of the herbicides for honeybees because that was a specific question. And so these were products in your weed and feed that you would put on for controlling your broadleaf weeds. And they were basically, if used in low doses, completely safe to honeybees. But it's very specific to what the pollinator is, the rate you apply it, and other things. So it can be challenging. In general, though, herbicides are much safer than the insecticides.
And if you don't want to use anything, you, I mean, you're in a situation of mulching for a garden. You're going to be mulching that garden pretty heavily.
Hand pulling.
And hand pulling on the, well, that's what I do with my daughter. We get down our hands and knees and pull Creeping Charlie, but it's sort of a losing battle. I mean, you can, I had it eliminated once completely from a lawn. And the next year, it was as though I'd never gotten rid of any.
Right.
So I actually used chemicals one year on the lawn, and I realized right then I was never going to get rid of it. And it's not, it's really not an invasive, is it, in a way? Or would you call it an invasive?
Well, it if you go back to Mark's definition of invasive, it's something that causes some kind of harm. And, you know, in your situation, does it cause harm? When it gets into my strawberries, then to me that's causing
that's
harm
invasion.
Because it's preventing my strawberries from producing. When it's in my lawn, personally, I don't care that much, but a lot of other people might. It doesn't tend to get into natural areas that much, except for maybe on the edges of forests.
Jackie, thank you so much for calling. I want to give Mary in Lebanon a chance to join in. And Mary, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling about garlic mustard. I know you. I just happened to turn it on when you were discussing it. We're really struggling, fighting. I mean, we're pulling. We're doing, you know, everything you possibly can. What frustrates me is it's growing along the roadsides, and then they go in mold when it's blocked, you know, and then they keep producing seeds. And then, you know, we go to Oconomowoc for business in Watertown. I'm seeing it all over the city of Oconomowoc just growing, and people don't even do anything to try and stop it.
Right in the town, yeah.
Right in the cities. I mean, it's, and to me, they've got a list of noxious weeds. Why don't they add that to the list of noxious weeds so people are doing more to try and fight it? Because it's just spreading. I mean, I can see wooded areas on the edge of Oconomowoc, and that's just taking over.
Yeah.
Okay. Everything.
Okay. So the list of noxious weeds is primarily for agricultural purposes, things to keep things out of agricultural production areas. It is on the list of invasive plants in Wisconsin. It's a restricted invasive plant, which means you can't buy it, sell it, and you know, move it around. However, it is way too widespread to require everyone who has garlic mustard to remove it from their property. It would be absolutely impossible to expect everyone to do that. And so, it's just not something that we're gonna force everybody to do something that they can't do. And so, yes, it is spreading quite a bit. And You know, people can try to keep it out of areas where that they have control over, but you can't really keep all of these invasives out. We have many, many invasive species, and this is just one of them. On the roadsides in particular, a lot of the roads only get mowed once a year, and we have many other species that we need to be mowing to prevent the spread of as well, things like wild parsnip. And so most of those things, we try to encourage mowing to be done at the time when the most problematic invasives on the roadside are still in flower so that they can prevent them from going to seed. Unfortunately, garlic mustard blooms really early and goes to seed really early compared to some of those other things. And so if you mow early enough for garlic mustard, that would be mowing now, and then it would resprout and it would flower again in another month or another 2 or 3 weeks. And so you would have to mow again, and you would have to mow again, and you would have to mow again. And so it's mowing is really not a solution for something like garlic mustard.
Unfortunately. That's too bad. Thanks, Mary, for calling. Cassie in Manitowish, thank you for calling. Hi. Cassie, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm very concerned about the Phragmites that I see spreading. It's like an elephant grass. That's what I would call it. It's Phragmites. It's a big, high grass, tassel grass. And it's really spreading up like 4257 towards Dow County. It's heading out 29 towards Wausau. It's some nasty stuff. And I don't know if there's any way that people even attempt to control it.
Yeah, there's a lot going on with Phragmites control in Wisconsin. First thing is that there's two different types of Phragmites. We actually have a native Phragmites here. It's actually native to every continent on the planet except for Antarctica. And so the native Phragmites is not very aggressive here. However, what is aggressive in the eastern part of the state is the non-native Phragmites. And so in the western half of the state, generally, we found that there's only native Phragmites, and so where we are finding the non-native there, then we're working on controlling those in the western counties. In the eastern counties, where it's abundant, it's kind of up to the landowner, of course, to control things on their own property. We do have a couple of very large grants up in the northeastern part of the state. Bay Lakes Regional Planning Commission just got a large grant to do control work there. Ducks Unlimited and DNR have got pretty major Phragmites control projects going on. So there is a great deal of control work going on, but it requires extensive, repeated work. And there are herbicides that are effective on it. And it can be done either as a foliar spray, or it can be done by hand cutting and then spraying the tops of the stems. So depending on the situation, yes, there may be work being done on it.
There we go. Thank you, Cassie, for calling. It can be miserable for sure. We're taking a look at invasive plants today, and we're also taking a look at how you can help us out here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Rob Ferret joining us.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Rob. And we've got a little work to do. I want to tell you that we count on you for a lot of help. You count on WPR for great discussions. It's your gift, any amount that makes these discussions possible. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's a great time to give because we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Judy Neal from Ripon. Your gift of $50 turns into $100, $100 into $200, and so on. We're about not quite halfway to meeting that challenge, so still time for you to help us get there. Take advantage of this match. Double your support for WPR programs when you give, and you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you've been enjoying the conversation today with Kelly Kearns and Mark Renz, and I think it's a good example of the interesting and informative conversations we have on this show.
Now take a few minutes to make this program, the Larry Mueller Show, and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you. Then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During the spring membership drive, we have that special thank you gift. You can ask to plant a tree as your gift when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60?
Your thank you gift will support Wisconsin's Forests for the Future Fund. That's a DNR forestry program that plants trees around the state. Make a pledge, grow a tree. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, but listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
That means that your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. So, you know how important you are now. You know how important your support is. Now do it. Make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Barbara Gilmore from Port Washington, Wisconsin. I'm a member of the board of the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. I listen to Wisconsin Public Radio to exchange ideas, beliefs, and values, to sometimes be moved to action about something that is near and dear to me, to be surprised so that I never stop questioning what is possible.
You can join in right now by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during our spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret asking for your support of WPR and your gift of $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You know, we hear, Larry, a lot of times from families who tell us how WPR brings them closer together. Children and parents listen together, maybe before school, on the weekends. They use us as a jumping point for conversations. This doesn't happen in my family, Larry. My kids don't want to hear me on the air. I don't know about you.
No.
No? But I'm informed reliably that it does happen to people whose parents aren't on the air. And so people get together at the end of the day. They talk about the stories they heard.
Listening to WPR can be a point of connection between you and your loved ones, so I hope you'll support right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. That keeps that connection going.
We have that dollar-for-dollar match still in effect, up to $3,200. Great time to pledge because current members of WPR, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Judy Neal from Ripon, are going to double every dollar you give. They're going to match that. It's their way of inspiring you, of challenging you. That's what they're doing. They want to challenge you to support WPR. Take them up on it. Make your pledge. Get it doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do you remember when you discovered Wisconsin Public Radio? As I said earlier, I listened. My parents listened as a kid. I was a small kid. Maybe a friend recommended something to you from Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe the great music or the high-quality news or the interesting discussions. Or maybe you were just sort of scanning in the dial. However you first found WPR, it eventually got you hooked.
It's probably been a while since you made that discovery, maybe months, maybe years, maybe, like Larry, decades. Me too, actually. It's been a couple decades since I started listening. Your contribution of, say, $5 or $10 a month brings you the same quality programming that you've valued since that first time you got hooked. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, so now make that decision to support WPR financially. Simple as that. You really can help. So join, renew, or make that extra gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Jerry and Kim from Waukesha pledged. They say, we appreciate all the things we learn on Larry's show. Well, how about you? You've learned a lot. There's just no denying it. You've learned a lot of useful information listening to Larry each and every weekday. That is worth something to you. And you get to pick the amount. Pick an amount. Thank Larry for all the work he does and all the guests that come on, and keep that great radio coming your way with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About halfway to that dollar-for-dollar match, and we really want to make that, and we only have about 19 more minutes to make that pledge. You can do it now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your support for WPR will go twice as far, and it will be a big help to us.
And this pledge drive, support WPR and give something extra. Ask to plant a tree as your thank you gift. Yeah, when you pledge $5 a month or one-time gift of $60, you can do that right now. Pledge, plant a tree at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here talking invasive plants today with Kelly Kearns of the Department of Natural Resources, Mark Renz, Associate Professor and Extension Weed Scientist with UW-Madison. Always great to have them come by, and thank you for listening. Lines are full. Number's 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Bev in Rhinelander next. Bev, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a spring-fed trout stream on my property, and I have noticed in the last 2 years there is a plant, a kind of a matted green plant. To me, it looks something like what we around here call duckweed, but I don't think it is. It just looks different, and it seems to be growing more and more, so I'm concerned about it, and I'm wondering if it's an invasive that you know about and if there's anything I can do about it.
Well, you're going to need to describe the plant a little better. Are they multiple tiny, tiny little plants like duckweed?
Yeah.
Okay, then it probably is some form of a duckweed. And that probably is increasing because you have increased nutrients in the stream. And so that's probably happening because there's either agricultural runoff or street runoff or something that's causing that increased nutrients.
Okay, there's nothing I can do about it then.
Can you... Yeah, what? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just say, Bev, you know, you can always take a picture or bring a sample in to your local county agent or DNR representative. It's really tough to ID these over the radio.
Right,
so we are firm believers that, to use some caution and try to make sure we get that identified. But it sure does sound like duckweed. I would agree with Kelly if it's a very small, almost algal-like looking mat on the top. Sounds like it to me.
Can you go in and I'm not talking about you here, Bev, but, well, yeah, maybe Bev. Could Bev go, okay, I've got this little section of stream, that's my section of stream, kind of, quote. Can I clean the duckweed or whatever it is out of there?
Sure, she could try. You know, use a net and just keep, you know, pulling it out. As soon as it goes up on the shore, it'll dry out. But you're not going to get it all.
Yeah.
It spreads vegetatively, and it's just going to keep spreading.
It's just going to keep spreading.
Yeah.
But you can cut it back in your own little area.
Yeah, you could.
I think it's good, but we have to realize, is this the driver or the passenger going on here? And so what Kelly mentioned, if it is duckweed, it might just be there because we have increased nutrient loading in that stream. And so really the goal should be, can we eliminate that nutrient loading from the stream? That would be the most efficient way to address the matter. But that's a difficult situation to address.
In this particular instance, it's hard for me to believe that there's added nutrients because farm fields are so far from it. It's in the woods.
Yeah.
I can't imagine where that would be coming from.
Yeah.
And it's a short, it's a small stream. It's maybe a half mile long from its source to the Wisconsin River. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I will do is
take a sample in and see if I can get it identified for sure, and then
get yourself some waders.
Right.
Get yourself some waders or hip boots and get out there, Bev.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, it's nice when people are concerned about this and about these weeds and want something done. Sometimes it's hard, as you guys are saying here. Darren and Madison up next. Darren, hi.
Hi there. I have a question, actually sort of a two-part question regarding parsnip control and toxicity, and then control for thistles. I've got about 20 acres that I'm trying to slowly get back into prairie form, and I'm using low-vol 4 version of 2,4-D and for parsnip control along the trail that I have through there. And my question about the toxin and the parsnip, if you get the toxin on you, as you know, as I'm mowing and that, how long does it stay active and how long can it persist? Say it gets on my jeans, you know, if I mow in the evening, will it stay, you know, if I set those jeans aside, can I, and you brush on them or touch them the next day, will that toxin still be active?
So, Darren, first off, I'll address the control strategy you're recommending is a very effective strategy. It works really well. So I think you're right on there. I do not know the specifics about how long that toxin will be a part of it. I know from my personal experience where I've been working and we've done research plots in the middle of wild parsnip, I have not had secondary exposure like you've described that you would get from poison ivy. My guess is that it does not persist a long time because it's not an oil, unlike poison ivy. But Kelly, do you have any other comments?
Yeah, we do have a colleague who has done some experimentation with parsnip and has tested it the next day after giving on clothing and has not been gotten the rash from that. So you're probably in pretty good shape the next day if you do your work in the evening after the sun's gone down and therefore not getting that rash. And for people who aren't familiar with wild parsnip, it's just good to make sure people are aware of this. It's a plant that's got kind of a Queen Anne's lace carrot-looking flower, but much larger and yellow, blooms about the midsummer. And if you get the sap from that plant on your skin and in exposure of sunlight, even on a cloudy day, then you can get essentially a burn from the sun.
Right. Yeah, and it is a nasty burn. I've gotten them before.
Yeah.
My other question. We have a couple types of thistle, but there's one thistle I'm trying to get rid of on the trails because it bothers my dog, and it's a really, I'm not sure what species it is, but it's a low. It stays pretty low, almost ground cover like, maybe only about 4 or 5 inches tall. Dark green, kind of a thick leaf, and I'm just wondering if that Loval 4 is a good option, or if you have any good recommendations for trying to actually get rid of it, because it's so compact and dense where it is, I can't really get out all the tap roots.
Yep. So, Darren, first off, we have some great resources on biennial thistle identification at the Learning Store. So if you go to the Learning Store and just type in thistle, you'll get access to it.
UWEX.edu. Learningstore.UWEX.edu.
We also have a YouTube video on plumeless thistle that talks about the different ones as well. So if you go on YouTube and just type in plumeless thistle or UWEX and thistle, it'll pop up and you'll see a picture of me pointing at this thistle and how to identify it. So you can get a confirmation, but if it is a biennial thistle, which it certainly sounds like, my guess is bull thistle is what I would guess, but it could also be plumeless.
I have a good feeling that it is bull thistle, but I'm not positive.
So an application of a herbicide spot treated, so just to the point before runoff, 2,4-D, the low volatile formulation will work very well. The key is to treat it when it's small in the rosette stage before it gets large. You could also go in with a sharp shovel and just cut off the taproot 3 or 4 inches below the soil surface, and that works well, too.
Okay. Yeah. All right, great.
Thanks a lot for calling, Darren. Appreciate your call. And Bob and Krivitz, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, what can we do for you?
Okay, I'm up west of Krivitz at my cabin, but my home is right across from the wildlife refuge of Terry Henry Park. I live just south of Sheboygan. The last 4 or 5 years, and we never had this before, I've been on that property for 30 and a half years. My mother-in-law, who would take care of, she's 92, she calls it wild cucumbers. Okay, have you ever heard of this before? And it grows like a vine. It looks similar to a cucumber vine. And a couple of my neighbors are farmers here, and they've got it where it's just getting massive. It grows on, and it'll grow right up the tree on a box elder or a weeping.
Yeah, about anything. So what about that?
There's actually two species of vines that are oftentimes called wild cucumber, and they are annual vines, and certain years are really great years for their growth, and we get lots of reports of them, and other years aren't. And so they generally just grow on fence rows, and they climb up trees in really disturbed areas. They're generally not a problem in agricultural crops, and certainly not a big problem in forests. Well, it's generally just on the edges.
And you can pull it down and pretty much not have to worry about chemicals or anything.
Yeah, I'd do it the other way around. I'd pull it up. I'd pull from the roots.
And
then just yank the individual plant, and it'll die.
All right.
And the key is to be looking now. The seedlings have just emerged, and you'll see plants that have almost quarter-sized cotyledons, very large, look very much like a cucumber seedling. And this is the easiest time to get rid of them, so go looking in those areas where you see it, and just take a hoe or just hand-pull those out now while they're 1 to 2 to 3 inches tall. Once they get up in the trees, it's a lot harder to control.
Kelly Kearns and Mark Renz are guests here on the Ideas Network as we talk with them about invasive plants. And good old Rob Ferrett's back.
Hey, hey.
Hey, good to see you back. And he's here to help me talk with you. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. You count on WPR's Ideas Network for talk about issues that matter to you. And WPR counts on you to help keep these talks on the air. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Still have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Bill and Judy Neal from Ripon. That means they're going to match dollar-for-dollar the gift you give. And here's the great news, Larry. We are knocking on the door of answering the call here of meeting that goal. Your pledge might be the one that puts us over the top. Make sure we take full advantage of this very generous challenge from current members. So do that right now. Make your pledge. Help us meet that challenge. Yours could put us over the top at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
From 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and from politics. I hate talking about politics, to be perfectly honest.
You don't have to here. We get that in the afternoons.
I know it. You get to do that. I like to focus on advice topics. I like to talk about the out-of-doors, interesting things going on at the UW and in the state, health issues, finance. Today, we're talking invasive plants.
There's a not-so-secret ingredient, Larry, to all of this, to this winning recipe. It's listener support. Your support makes the program possible. You make Larry's show possible. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this spring membership drive, give something extra when you support WPR. Your donation makes the programs you love possible. And you can plant a tree when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. I should say, not you plant a tree.
You know, personally.
Somebody will do it for you.
You will initiate a chain of events that leads to a tree being planted. Your thank you gift helps maintain Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin State Forests. Do two great things with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you very much, Doug, and thank you if you've donated. I really appreciate it very much. If you haven't, you can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with the invading Rob Ferrett.
Aha.
We're here to raise money that keeps this station going in this program. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Larry, I think I'm on the air plenty. I don't think anybody wants me to creep onto your airtime as well, except, of course, during the pledge drive. Hey, great news, Larry. Just as I was talking there, we met that challenge. Thank you so much to everyone who pledged this hour. That is great news, a very generous dollar-for-dollar match. Doesn't mean we're done, though. We are still looking for your support. Our target is to get 7 more pledges during this hour, Larry. I think we can do it. Probably a lot of people on the computer, on the phone right now. How about you? Make your pledge. Support the Larry Mueller Show and all the information you get every day with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can keep your connection strong with a leadership gift. And I've had quite a few leadership gifts, mm-hmm. actually. $100 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, in life, we pay for the things that are important to us. And when you think about it, WPR is probably as important to you or maybe even more so than some of the other things that you spend money on.
Life just wouldn't be as good without WPR, and WPR wouldn't be as good as it is without listener support. So your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 pays for the programs you enjoy and you rely on every day.
We heard from Don and Kathy in Seymour. They say, we enjoy listening to WPR because the discussions are seldom heard elsewhere. You provide valuable and useful information. Definitely true here on the Larry Miller Show all day long on the Ideas Network. And yeah, you don't hear these kind of conversations elsewhere, and you don't hear them around the country. The Ideas Network really is unique for the state-produced, the Wisconsin-produced shows, the conversations, and the Wisconsin focus of all these discussions. You're not going to get stuff like this elsewhere in the country. Make a pledge to support it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how do you know when it's time to donate to WPR? Well, frankly, any time is a good time to donate, but you're listening right now. So what about now? During our spring membership drive is a great time to do it. And whether you tune in for one favorite program or you find yourself checking in quite a few times throughout the day or the week, you've made a habit of listening.
And now make a habit of giving. Get on the computer, get on the phone, make your contribution, maybe a sustaining, ongoing contribution. Looking for 6 more pledges now by the end of the hour. We'll take them into the news, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might feel like WPR is worth $1 million, but you don't have that much to give. Well, you didn't win the lottery. That's all right. Your gift, any amount, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount. Help us make our goal here. 6 more calls in the next minute or so. We'll be going away for the news, and then we'll be back. You stay with us. Make that call. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Miller. We're taking a look at invasive plants today with our two guests, Kelly Kearns, invasive plant coordinator with the Wisconsin DNR, Mark Renz, associate professor and extension weed scientist with UW Extension and UW Madison. So it's great to have them along, and I'm glad that you're listening in and you're emailing and you're Facebooking and all the rest of it. Dolores in Kenosha has been waiting a bit, so we'll go to her now. Dolores, thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I live down here in Kenosha, where I'm constantly fighting the mulberries that the birds plant and the tree of heaven that who knows how they plant themselves in my yard. But we also, my husband was born on Washington Island, and there's a large family property, about 7 family groups up there. And it's lakeshore, harbor side, some is wetland. And then there's a wooded area behind there. And everybody's interested in preserving it. Where are the best sites to get pictures, of what we're supposed to be looking for? Because they have little cards, and it's like, oh, I'll look for this. It's not quite big enough, and it doesn't cover all the seasons. And if we could tell what we were looking at, then we could do more research and at listening to you, what we can do to properly take care of this.
That's a great question, Dolores. Thank you so much. Well, Kelly, you want to start?
Well, there's a couple of places. There's a lot of photos all online if you know what to look for, if you know what the species is. But one place to start is on the DNR website. We have a number of publications. Actually, if you just type in invasive plants on the DNR website, then we have a long list, and there's a photo gallery for each one of those. And so you can just type on, hit that photo gallery and see all the different species that we have photos of. We also have a number of different publications that are on our website as well, including a 4-page handout for the color photos of the regulated invasives, and we also have a field guide. And so people order that field guide, and you can actually have a paper field guide in hand
right.
when you go out to the field to look at that. And then there's also some, Extension also has some as well.
Yeah, we also have some fact sheets. And what we have that might be helpful to you is we have a online weed identification database. So if you were just to type into a search engine, weed ID, the website is http://weedid.wisc.edu. But just type in weed ID in Wisconsin, it'll pop up. And what's neat about this website is if you have a plant that you don't know what it is, but you can identify like its leaves are opposite or has yellow flowers, you just enter what you know, hit search, and up pops a bunch of pictures of plants that meet the criteria that you entered. So it's a really
That's
nice
a very
resource.
Nice way.
And it has over 350 weeds that are common
wow.
to Wisconsin. So, yeah, you didn't know we had as many weeds in Wisconsin. So that's a great resource. I would encourage you to use that. We have some videos on how to use that as resources. And then I'm a big fan of just getting in contact with someone local to help you show you what is actually there. Because there's probably 20 or 30 species that really are the most common that an expert can just show you on someday and help you.
And you can always bring plants into places like the Ridges or other nature centers in your local area, and they can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Dolores, for calling. I appreciate your call. You always want to help people who want to help the cause, that's for sure. Lori in Waukesha, your turn. Lori, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling. I live in a climax forest of hardwoods, shagbark, hickory, oak, and maple, and I eradicate all buckthorn, raspberry, and the wild cucumber. And now I have a new problem, and I've never experienced this before. Our entire understory, I couldn't even see the trillium and May apple because we are completely inundated with stinging nettle, and I've never seen that happen before. And when I drive around, I notice that I'm seeing a lot of it where I've never seen it before, and I'm kind of wondering what's going on with that. And mostly I want to find out is it's now flowering. How long do I have to get it up before it starts propagating by blowing seed all over?
Yeah, Lori. So one of my graduate students, if they live near you, they would want your address because they'd want to come over and harvest it and blanch it and eat the stinging nettle because it's actually quite a delicacy. This is a native plant, if I'm not mistaken, right, Kelly? So it's not considered invasive, but it can be weedy and be aggressive. And I've actually gotten phone calls in agricultural fields that it's been popping up. So it is a big issue. I'm not familiar on exactly when those when those will turn into viable seeds, but my guess is probably pretty soon after those flowers, the pollen start shedding, which is probably pretty soon, they should have viable seeds. And I think this is one of these plants that cycles and has boom and bust years, and this is just a boom year about it. So personally, if I own this wonderful property you own, I wouldn't worry about it. If you're concerned about it, you could do some spot mowing or careful hand pulling with very heavy gloves on.
Or use a string weeder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the string weeder.
So basically, it's annual, knocking the flowers off of it can knock the population down.
Well, it's actually a perennial, but...
oh, no.
But it has these boom and bust years, so I would be very confident that we're in a boom cycle. In a year or two, it's gonna do bust. That happens very commonly with these native plant populations.
Okay, yeah, I spent 5 hours on Saturday pulling it, so...
Oh, get the weed whacker out.
No, I'm going to pull it more. I don't want to look at it. The understory is too pretty. I have trillium, lady pepper, yeah, all the good ones.
Oh, understood.
I want to be able to see them.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thanks, Lori.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. And Connie up next in Campbellsport. Hi, Connie.
Hello. I had a question and then a comment. Garlic mustard is flowering now. Is it okay to still spray large areas of that?
Yeah, Connie. So this is one of the situations where we've actually done this research. We've actually, several years ago, sprayed garlic mustard with a range of different herbicides when it was in full flower. And we found it actually was very effective, and they did not produce viable seed. So you can still spray it right now. Obviously, as seed pods begin to form on there, you might get a few viable seeds, so you want to try and get after it as soon as possible. But yes, you can.
Will I be able to find that information on what to use to spray on your website?
Yep, you could go to my website, or if you go to the Learning Store, we have a fact sheet on garlic mustard that's easily accessible, and you can see a wide range of options. You have lots of choices.
Okay, thank you very much. And then I want to encourage everyone who's listening to give some of their time to weed in public lands. There's not enough money for invasive species control in our state, and I really encourage people to get out there and help the Friends of the State Parks, and also just on their own, get some people together and start to weed some areas that they know have been, especially with garlic mustard right now, how much it's been invading. Because we're losing a lot of native species because of that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Connie. That leads us into talking about invasive species management groups that we have around the state. And throughout various parts of the state, we actually have organized groups that are working together to get control work done and to identify where things are new coming up, and very effective groups. So you can also find that on the DNR website or on the Invasive Plants Association of Wisconsin website, and find out what the local invasive species cooperative management groups are doing there.
Thank you again, Connie. Appreciate your call. Let's turn to Tammy in Madison. Well, before we get to Tammy, I want to. There have been some Facebook and some email questions that revolve around both buckthorn and honeysuckle, and maybe I just sort of address those several comments in general, people wanting to get rid of honeysuckle, wanting to get rid of buckthorn. You want to comment on that, Mark?
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Larry. And, you know, these are really evident in the spring in particular because often they leaf out before a lot of the understory shrubs. And so it's really easy to identify them, both buckthorn and we call them bush honeysuckles. There is a range of bush honeysuckles, and they hybridize, so we just kind of lump them together. Again, we do have some very good fact sheets, and there's been a lot of research in the past on effective control measures. The problem is they tend to really dominate these understories, and when you get a really thick infestation that's been there for 10 to 20 years, if you want to hire someone to come and remove it, it's going to cost, you know, hundreds, more likely like thousands of dollars per acre to do an effective management technique. And then there's going to be follow-up treatments for many years after that. And so that's some of the real challenges with buckthorn and bush honeysuckles. They can be a challenge to control, but when you have one or two plants, they're actually relatively easy. You can do individual plant techniques. You can do larger scale methods, herbicides, non-herbicidals. The key is trying to be strategic and try to get them before they become large problems.
Yeah.
Kelly, anything else to add?
Yeah, just that there is a new honeysuckle that's moved into the state in the last decade or so, Amur bush honeysuckle, and it looks a little different than the other honeysuckles that we've had for a long time, and it's much more abundant further south, like in Illinois, and so you may be starting to see that one, a little shinier, darker leaves that have a very pointy on the end. So if you are seeing that one, then you might want to let us know.
Tammy and Madison, your turn now. Thanks for calling, Tammy. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. Nice to hear you on the show, Kelly. And I'm wondering where we are at with biological control measures for garlic mustard.
Well, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we started work on that with folks in Switzerland that are actually doing the research over there, searching to see what's feeding on it in the wild in Europe. And we've started doing some of the research here in the States in a containment facility on the University of Minnesota campus, where they've been growing it up and testing it against testing these insects against native species that are related to garlic mustard, agricultural crops, and other things. And we found a couple of species that we think are pretty targeted just towards garlic mustard, and they're still going through some of the testing. And so we're still several years away from having those approved. We've submitted it to be approved now for three different times, and it's come back with additional species that they want us to test each time. Part of the problem is they keep changing the taxonomy of some of the mustards in that family, and so they keep coming up with new species that we should test because there's more species now related.
There we go. Thank you so much, Tammy, for calling. Appreciate your call. And We had another comment about gout weed. Justin on Facebook said it's the bane of his existence. He can't seem to kill it without killing everything else in his flower bed. Any suggestions there, Mark?
Yeah, so I've been battling gout weed living in Madison, and as well as creeping bellflower, and it's really a challenge to manage it while being selective, because it is a creeping perennial, has perennial roots that can resprout and is really a challenge to eliminate. So, you know, the best selective management method is just hand removal, or if you could selectively place down some type of a black fabric or a weed barrier of some kind that you could place over the desirable plants, and then copious amounts of hand pulling. I've been successful in eradicating it in my yard. What I did is I dug up 6 inches of soil, went through, screened all that soil, and removed all the perennial roots. I did this because it was a 1 square meter area and I could get away with doing it.
Oh, okay.
But I think I say that to emphasize that's the level of control you need to really get it out of the soil. Those roots are down 6 inches and they can be, you know, as thick as your finger, and that's why it's so difficult to manage it.
Oh, man. Lots of well, I guess you guys aren't going to run out of work or business for sure for a while. And I will always great to have you come by. Kelly Kearns from the DNR, Mark Renz, UW Extension, UW Madison, our guests here today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Always look forward to seeing them. And I always look forward to seeing Rob Ferret, too. He comes by during our spring membership drive. Well, he comes by in the fall one, too, sometime.
That's true.
Winter, too, Larry.
Yeah,
any time of year, I'll come over.
You'll come anytime. He will. He'll come anytime.
Rain,
he may come right
sleep,
to your home and ask you personally to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio. We rely on you to keep these programs going. So your gift right now, any amount, it takes him a long time to get around the entire state. So maybe just do it right now by phone.
That makes it easier, yeah.
Yeah, by phone at 888-202-2552. Go online to WPR.org and make that contribution.
Hey, last hour we heard from 28 members of Wisconsin Public Radio and met our challenge match. That's fantastic. Thanks so much for those gifts. Our goal now is to get 10 pledges. Actually, now we're down to 9 pledges now.
Support the station you love and help us meet our goal when you give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying and learning from this conversation about weeds and invasive species. It's an example of the interesting and important conversations you hear on The Larry Mueller Show.
So take a few minutes to make this program and the many more programs possible. Choose a gift that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you can do two great things when you give to Wisconsin Public Radio now. Your donation will support the programs that you rely on, and you can plant a tree when you give $5 a month or more.
As your thank you gift, you can choose to support Wisconsin's Forest for the Future Fund. It's a DNR program that plants trees throughout the state. Make a pledge. Grow a tree. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I just like the balanced, thoughtful approach that public radio provides us.
I like to hear the interviews. They're always very topical.
Regardless of the event or the program, it's always top quality.
If you ask me to find some other station, I don't think I could find it. I wouldn't want to do without it.
I just really enjoy it.
Thank you so much for pledging today. If you haven't pledged, you can do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Rob Ferret asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. And maybe your gift's 10 bucks a month or maybe it's 20. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And it's easy to give to Wisconsin Public Radio. It just takes a few minutes to make your contribution and you get so much back. Consider maybe a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more.
That comes down to less than $4 a day, and it makes the talk, the news, the music, and entertainment that you count on from WPR possible. So give now at WPR.org or at 888 202-2552.
Think about all the great guests who come back again and again to Larry's show with great information, the connection you have with people like Sandy Sawchuk, who helps us with our pets, Scott Craven, who's happy to speculate at all your wildlife sightings, the weather guys, of course, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, and the bird guy, Bill Volkert.
They cover topics near and dear to your heart. They give you advice and ideas because you've come to trust and appreciate these guests. I hope you support this program with your dollars. Do it right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Looking for 7 more pledges now by the end of the Larry Mueller Show, about 5 minutes. Give to WPR to support the station you love, your public radio.
And thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, help pay for the programs you enjoy. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Dolores in Partyville who says, I work from home and I listen to WPR every day. I love learning something new every day. Well, I'm glad we can help you through your work day, Dolores. Now, how about you? Maybe you tune into Wisconsin Public Radio every day, working at home or maybe on your way to and from work over your lunch hour, and then some more on the weekends.
Listening to WPR is an important part of your life. Your day probably would be different and maybe even worse if you didn't listen or catch your favorite program. Your contribution keeps WPR the strong station that you count on month after month and year after year. So please give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You're listening right now. Are you a WPR member? When you support your public radio station, it's an investment that gives back. Whether it's the news, the statewide conversations, the inspiring music, we are here when you need us.
We're here because you're here. It's as simple as that. Become our next member at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. A pledge of $5 or $10 a month would be great, or whatever amount you choose. And thanks for supporting WPR.
If you've already renewed or make ongoing monthly gifts as a sustainer, thank you so much. And listeners who renew monthly sustainers, they really are the backbone of WPR.
So I hope you'll contribute right now. If you haven't given, now's a great time to do it. Join the thousands of other wonderful WPR members by donating at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Looking for 7 more pledges by the end of the Larry Mueller Show. Just a few minutes. You can help us get there. Lowen from Madison says, WPR is just the best. Thank you for filling my brain with so much knowledge. Well, my brain got filled with knowledge there, Larry, about invasive species and weeds and what it's going to take to get some of those guys out of my yard. But I've got some ideas. I learned some useful stuff. You learn useful stuff on the Larry Mueller Show each and every day. What's it worth to you? Can you put a dollar amount on it? Can you make that contribution right now and make sure Larry Mueller keeps coming to you each and every day? Make a pledge now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
7 more contributions to go here to reach our goal. And this pledge drive, support the radio you love and ask to plant a tree as your gift. Make a pledge. Grow a tree when you give $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And when you take us up on that and plant the tree, you can become a sustainer. Make that gift in easy $5 monthly installments or whatever amount you choose. It's easy to set up. It's convenient. You just make ongoing monthly donations. You could choose from your bank account or your credit card. Do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I always going to sign up for to be a sustaining, but then I wind up giving. I give at every single pledge drive. And so that's the way I
do it. Well, that works too, Larry.
I talk myself into it every single time.
Okay, so we have to convince you afresh every
time. I talk myself into it every single time, and I get the coffee mug, and I plant the tree, and I do all these. And so it's kind of fun for me to do it that way, but I know it's really, it'd be really great if, as you listen, if you become a sustainer, it really helps us. I've got to do it. You do it too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. We've got to go away in about 15 seconds, but there'll be time for you, another minute and a half for us to meet our goal. Again, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks for contributing. If you haven't done so, boy, now would be a great time to do it.
Yeah.